Today is Thursday, January 16th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Pete Hegseth, fascist and defender of war crimes, set to lead American military, by Jacob Cross. On Tuesday, the Senate Armed Services Committee held its first and only hearing on the confirmation of President-elect Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense, Fox News commentator and defender of war criminals, Pete Hegseth. Following the hearing, corporate media reports indicated that Hegseth was likely to be confirmed, giving the Republicans control of 53-47, and none has declared opposition. Hegseth openly advocates the commission of war crimes and likely participated in them firsthand as an infantryman in a unit notorious for murdering prisoners and as a guard at the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. In his confirmation hearing, Hegseth stated that his experience at Guantanamo Bay makes him an expert on a form of torture known as waterboarding, which he has openly advocated. During his confirmation hearing, Hegseth railed against the Geneva Conventions, declaring, quote, "We would all have to acknowledge that the way we fought our wars back when the Geneva Conventions were written is a lot different," unquote. That Hegseth has been nominated to head the Department of Defense, let alone that his nomination will likely be approved, speaks to the fact that American democracy is reaching its calamitous nadir. The crimes committed during decades of perpetual war waged by the United States, which legitimized torture, the mass killing of civilians, and the U.S. sponsorship of the Gaza genocide, are being brought home. The criminal activities of the U.S. military all over the world will be the basis for domestic political repression. Of all of Trump's nominations, Hegseth's politics are perhaps the most overtly fascist. He has openly defended war crimes and advocated for the use of the military against political opponents. The nomination of Hegseth is a demonstration of Trump's complete contempt for any constitutional check on his use of military force, either at home or abroad. Hegseth's selection by Trump, based on personal loyalty to the incoming president and a record of public lobbying to support U.S. soldiers guilty of war crimes, is an ominous warning of an impending explosion of American military violence against countries targeted by Trump and against popular opposition at home. The role of the Democratic Party is to whitewash and facilitate the lurch of the ruling class toward dictatorship. In the over four-hour hearing, not a single Democrat on the committee once uttered the word fascist, nor did they warn the population that a person seeking the nomination to head an organization teeming with nuclear weapons, stealth bombers, missile submarines, and hypersonic weapons has previously and repeatedly indicated his support for using the military against quote-unquote, domestic enemies. In addition to his support for war criminals, rejection of the Geneva Convention, and support for Trump's failed coup, Hegseth has a series of fascist tattoos on his body, including the Latin phrase, Deus vult, that is, God wills it. The slogan, with its origins in the medieval Crusades, has been embraced by today's white supremacists, Christian fascists, and Islamophobes. Notably, during today's hearing, not a single Democrat questioned Hegseth over his tattoos. After over 2 hours, North Dakota Republican Senator Kevin Cramer raised the issue, but only to provide Hegseth an opportunity to advance his fascistic warrior ethos. The central thesis of Hegseth's most recently published book, The War on Warriors, Behind the Betrayal of the Men Who Keep Us Free, is a variation of Adolf Hitler's stab in the back theory, which blamed Germany's defeat in World War I on a traitorous home front, infected with Judeo-Bolshevism. In Hegseth's book, a variation of which was repeated during the hearing, while he and other patriots were fighting the U.S. imperialist wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya, quote, "America's domestic enemies at home pounced." Continuing, quote, "The left didn't fight the wars, they stayed home and wrecked our house. America wreckers, all of them," he wrote. The domestic enemies include the radical left, Antifa, BLM, and, quote, now Hamas supporters, and other progressive stormtroopers, unquote, a slander against those opposing Israeli genocide in Gaza. Hegseth wrote in the book that the, quote, expectation is that we will defend America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Not political opponents, but real enemies. Yes, Marxists are our enemies, unquote. During the hearing, Hegseth repeatedly attacked what he termed woke policies that were harming, quote, recruitment and retainment, unquote, and pledged that as Trump's Secretary of Defense, he would place lethality first. Republican Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri thanked Hegseth for offering clarity and vision for the, quote, Department of Defense and restoring an ethos, a warrior ethos, which is in stark contrast to the ethos of the last 4 years, which has been weakness and wokeness, unquote. Schmidt claimed the military had been infected with DEI, or diversity, equity, and inclusion, which he said, quote, was rooted in cultural Marxism, unquote. In response, Hegseth claimed, less than 2 weeks after two U.S. Army veterans launched violent New Year's Day attacks that left dozens injured and over 14 people killed, that extremism in the U.S. military was a, quote, made-up boogeyman to begin with, unquote. The term warrior ethos, which has been developed within the American military over the past two decades, means in its essence unlimited and unrestrained brutality and criminality to advance the interest of the American oligarchy at home and abroad. Its glorification of warfare and the militarization of society have direct roots in Nazi ideology. Democrats never addressed Hegseth's promotion of a warrior ethos or exposed its fascist content. They could hardly do so, since they supported wars in Afghanistan, in the Middle East, and particularly the Israeli genocide in Gaza. As a diversion from the substance of imperialist military policy and its bloody methods, they focused almost all of their questions on Hegseth's previous statement concerning women in the military, previous allegations of sexual infidelity, and his obvious inexperience managing large organizations. In championing the role of women, they all accept it as a matter of course that in the coming years, American soldiers will be sent into the battlefields en masse, and that the American military must be built up to accomplish this task. The only digression from the focus on issues of gender and personal transgressions came when Democrat Jackie Rosen of Nevada asked if, quote, America first foreign policy is America alone. Does that include abandoning our allies and partners, such as NATO, Taiwan, Israel, and others, unquote? Hegseth assured Rosen that, quote, our friends in the world have had no better ally than President Donald Trump, who has reinvigorated the NATO alliance and stood behind Israel in every way, in ways this administration has not, unquote. Rosen then followed up, quote, is Donald Trump going to stand behind Ukraine? Are you going to stand behind Ukraine, unquote? Here is the key to the policy of the Democratic Party. As long as Trump maintains the U.S. commitment to the war against Russia in Ukraine, even at the risk of a nuclear conflagration, the Democrats, as one of the two parties of American imperialism, are prepared to collaborate in every other area. Israel massacres dozens in Gaza after Biden announces ceasefire, by Andre Damon. In a video statement Wednesday afternoon, U.S. President Joe Biden announced that a ceasefire agreement had been reached between Hamas and Israel and would be implemented on Sunday. Biden said, quote, a ceasefire and a hostage deal would have been reached between Israel and Hamas, unquote. Biden claimed that the first phase of the agreement would include the, quote, withdrawal of Israeli forces from all populated areas of Gaza and the release of a number of hostages held by Hamas, unquote. Israel reacted to Biden's announcement by continuing to massacre dozens of people in Gaza. More than 30 people were killed in bombings on refugee camps, residential neighborhoods, and hospitals Wednesday following the announcement, on top of 50 that had been killed earlier in the day. The office of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, following Biden's announcement, quote, an official statement by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be issued only after the completion of the final details of the agreement, which are being worked on at present, unquote. It subsequently said in a statement, quote, the Israeli negotiations team in Doha reported to Netanyahu of a last-minute attempt by Hamas to withdraw from a clause in the agreement, adding, quote, Netanyahu instructed the negotiations team to uphold the understandings that were agreed upon and to reject the last-minute blackmail attempts by Hamas, unquote. Regardless of whether an agreement is finally reached and whether Israeli troops formally withdraw from Gaza, any ceasefire would continue the illegal Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories and the brutal apartheid regime to which the Palestinians are subjected. Notably, the Israeli ceasefire within Lebanon, worked out in November, has been followed by almost daily bombardment of Lebanese territory by Israel, and there is every reason to believe this would be the case for Gaza as well. In fact, if the Israeli military pulls back from Gaza, it is because it will have achieved its aim of leveling the majority of buildings and massacring a significant portion of its population. More than 46,000 Palestinians in Gaza have been killed since the beginning of the genocide, according to official figures. But these figures are broadly considered to be a major underestimation, with two reports published in The Lancet estimating the deaths at between 70,000 and 186,000 or more. In announcing the ceasefire, Biden boasted of the military objectives achieved by the U.S.-backed Israeli onslaught on Gaza and its rampage throughout the Middle East. Quote, because of the pressure that Israel built on Hamas, backed by the United States, Hamas's longtime leader, Yahya Sinwar, was killed, Biden said, boasting of having murdered the leader of the political organization Israel was negotiating with. Biden said he, quote, organized the Coalition of Nations, unquote, to support Israel against Iran and enabled strong Israeli attacks on Iran, quote, destroying Iran's air defenses. He added, quote, then Hezbollah, another of Hamas's strongest backers, was significantly weakened on the battlefield, and its leadership was destroyed, unquote. Biden was referencing the systematic murder of virtually all of the leaders of one of the largest political organizations in Lebanon, including the September 27, 2024, murder of Hassan Nasrallah using 20 massive U.S.-provided bunker buster bombs. Thousands of people were injured and dozens killed in a mass terrorist attack by Israel throughout Lebanon on September 17th and 18th. Biden boasted, quote, and so now the terror network that once protected and sustained Hamas is far weaker. Iran is weaker than it has been in decades. Hezbollah is badly degraded, and after more than 15 months of war, Hamas's senior leaders are dead. Thousands of Hamas's fighters are dead, and the military formations have been destroyed with nowhere to turn, unquote. In these remarks, Biden made clear the military motivations of the U.S.'s support of the Gaza genocide. The systematic and deliberate massacre of the Palestinian people was carried out to shape what Netanyahu proclaimed as the new Middle East. In his remarks before the United Nations on September 27, 2024, Netanyahu showed a map of the Middle East with the Palestinian territories subsumed into Israel and with, quote, Israel and its Arab partners forming a land bridge connecting Asia and Europe, unquote. Biden used virtually the same language as Netanyahu in his remarks Wednesday, declaring that the war created the conditions for, quote, an economic corridor from India across the Middle East to Europe, unquote. He declared, quote, that vision can now become a reality. The Gaza genocide is the latest and most horrific crime in the decades-long imperialist backdrive by Israel to fully annex Palestinian territories. In the 31 years since Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin shook hands at the signing of the Oslo Accords, Israel has carried out a relentless and escalating onslaught against the Palestinians, facilitated by the bourgeois Arab regimes. Concluding his remarks, Biden declared, quote, this deal was developed and negotiated under my administration, but its terms will be implemented for the most part by the next administration. In these past few days, we've been speaking as one team, unquote. Last week, Trump threatened that, quote, all hell will break out in the Middle East unless Hamas surrenders, while his vice president, J.D. Vance, has vowed to enable Israel to, quote-unquote, knock out Hamas. Last month, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Trump White House is preparing a major attack in Iran, a claim that Trump refused to condemn. The White House has sought to claim that a ceasefire is Biden's legacy. No, his legacy is sponsorship of the Gaza genocide and turning over the White House to a fascist who will only further intensify the imperialist bloodbath throughout the Middle East and around the world. Pam Bondi refuses to rule out prosecution of Trump's opponents if confirmed as Attorney General, by Kevin Reed. Pamela Bondi, Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General, appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee at a confirmation hearing on Wednesday. As reported previously on the WSWS, Bondi was picked in late November when former Congressman Matt Gaetz withdrew his nomination at Trump's request after leading Republicans came out against him. In the wake of Gaetz's demise, Bondi was selected as one of the far-right political figures, fascists, and oligarchs in Trump's cabinet. Bondi's credentials as a Trump loyalist are well established. She was on Trump's legal team during his first impeachment and Senate trial. She supported Trump's Stop the Steal campaign and his attempted coup in January 2021. She went on TV after the 2020 election and stated that Trump had won Pennsylvania, which he had lost by more than 80,000 votes. After the failed coup attempt, Bondi became head of the legal arm of the Trump-aligned America First Policy Institute, and she was involved in lawsuits filed in advance of the 2024 election, intended to facilitate another coup if Trump lost the vote in November. Bondi's appearance before the Senate was one of six confirmation hearings on Wednesday. The other nominees who appeared were Marco Rubio for Secretary of State, John Ratcliffe for CIA Director, Sean Duffy for Secretary of Transportation, Chris Wright for Secretary of Energy, and Russell Vaught for Director of the Office of Management and Budget, or OMB. During her hearing, Bondi steadfastly refused to answer important questions while making pro forma statements about not allowing politics to interfere with Department of Justice or DOJ investigations. However, she was given a friendly welcome by Democrats and Republicans alike, and congressional leaders of both parties predicted that the former Attorney General from Florida from 2011 through 2019 would be easily confirmed. On the claims of a stolen election in 2020, Bondi refused to state clearly that Joe Biden won the presidency and that Donald Trump's Stop the Steal campaign was based on lies and falsifications. When asked by the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois, whether she believed that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, Bondi responded with a tautology, quote, President Biden is the president, unquote. When asked by Senator Alex Padilla, Democrat from California, about her appearance in 2020, alongside the eventually disbarred Rudy Giuliani, and her declaration that Trump was the victor in Pennsylvania, Bondi defended her actions and said she was representing the campaign's position at the time. Bondi absurdly claimed she would maintain the Justice Department's independence from the convicted felon Donald Trump and his plans to investigate his political opponents. She repeatedly said she would not politicize the DOJ, saying she would uphold the Constitution and the rule of law. When Senator Durbin asked if she could say no to Trump, given her previous service as one of his personal attorneys during his first impeachment trial, Bondi simply lied, saying that, quote, every case will be prosecuted based on the facts and the law that is applied in good faith, period. Politics have got to be taken out of the system, unquote. When asked what she would do if Donald Trump told her to do something illegal, Bondi refused to give a straight answer. Senator Adam Schiff, Democrat from California, asked Bondi whether she would investigate Jack Smith, the DOJ special counsel, who brought two indictments against Trump. Bondi responded, quote, I haven't seen the file. I haven't looked at anything. It would be irresponsible of me to make a commitment regarding anything without looking at the file, unquote. In other words, she was open to investigating Smith. Senator Mazie Hirono, Democrat from Hawaii, asked the nominee to reject Trump's characterization of supporters arrested in the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol as hostages or patriots. But Bondi refused, claiming, quote, "I'm not familiar with that statement," unquote. Republican senators, including Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa, sought to bolster Bondi's bogus arguments that under her leadership, quote, "partisanship, the weaponization will be gone, and America will have one tier of justice for all," unquote, thereby endorsing Trump's claims that the cases brought against him were examples of politically driven persecution by the Biden White House. Grassley reviewed a list of complaints by Republicans that the Democrats had politicized the DOJ by prosecuting Trump over the past 4 years. The corporate media is bending over backwards to present the hearing as a rigorous inquiry by the Democrats into Bondi's role as a lawyer who participated in Trump's 2020 coup attempt. In fact, the pro forma performance and Bondi's imminent confirmation amount to a further rubber stamp by the entire political establishment and, in particular, the Democratic Party of the pervasive criminality of the incoming government and its dictatorial character. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.